Yo, what's up? This is Steve Ewing. You are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast, y'all. Ha ha!
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, Episode 5. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Rock Paper Podcast without the T, or on Facebook. And now we are available officially on iTunes, where you can download all 5 of our awesome episodes. Our guest this week is very, very special, pretty awesome. Mr. Steve Ewing from The Urge. He owns Steve's Hot Dogs. Steve, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. It's glad good to be here.
Yeah. So you have not only being lead singer of The Urge, also owner of Steve's Hot Dogs, and you guys are part of an Indiegogo campaign, a crowdfunding thing going on right now, which is pretty awesome. We were kind of talking beforehand about just this crowdfunding thing. So go ahead and explain kind of what the goal is for the Indiegogo campaign you guys got going on for the restaurant.
We were contacted by Stephen Smith and Thomas Crone. And those guys are involved in the Royale, the restaurant on Kings Highway. They've been doing this for quite a while. They wanted to open a new spot over in Tower Grove, but they needed a food component because it's a neighborhood bar. So they came to me first, and I loved the idea. I just thought it would work out great. It would be perfect. We'll take away the restrictions that we have over here on the Hill, which is we're not open at nighttime. We're not open late on the weekends, and we don't really have alcohol here. Mm-hmm. So it worked out perfect. The trick was funding, so we needed to get funding quickly. We had a lot of work to do. And in this particular building, we had to do a build-out, so we had to gut a lot of it. And so, okay, well, how do we get funding? And so I knew some other businesses. I knew Corey over at Strange Donuts got started with a Kickstarter. And they've been successful getting started that way. So I looked into Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and I decided to go with Indiegogo because whether or not you meet your goal, you still get your funding.
That was the first thing I noticed, because we had kind of talked about doing like a Kickstarter thing. And I think Kickstarter takes like a 2.3% of the funds. And I noticed on you guys is where whatever you guys earn, you actually get to take that, which is pretty awesome.
We'll take, I mean, they all take a bit of, because they may have to pay for what it is that they do.
Right.
But with Indiegogo, if you don't meet your goal, you still keep the majority of your funding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can still move forward, you know, with your business. In this case, we knew we were going to get open. It was just a matter of how fast could we get funding from the bank, how fast could we get funding from, you know, from SBA, this kind of whole thing. So we knew with an Indiegogo campaign, it was only going to be a month long.
Right.
And that would be a great amount of time that we could, you know, use to raise funds and also raise awareness for the business. And this would kind of give us a chance to kind of get our ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we figured, well, we'd be funded by the end of 4th of July, or at least partially funded, and we can start with some of the major stuff, like we had to rip all the plumbing out, downstairs, upstairs, the entire facade needed to be done on the building. Mm-hmm. Most of the windows had to be replaced, the floors, a lot more than we actually thought was going to happen at the beginning. We're like, well, so we're in it, we're looking good, our campaign is going really well, so I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, and does it end? Is it Sunday night?
It ends on Sunday night.
11:59, technically.
Right.
Looks like you guys are about halfway to your goal.
We're past halfway.
Past halfway.
We got a good push coming with the Urge concert this Saturday, and you know, with social media and the street level and everything, we keep adding new perks.
Yeah.
So we got some great perks with, you know, me actually performing, you know, at your house, and you know, us doing private catering gigs and. You know, like I said, the T-shirts, the stickers, the free hot dogs.
Yeah.
This one where it's like free hot dogs for life or something like that.
I think I just, just saw that. And you just put on a show, was a couple of days ago in
we,
here. In
we
the
did
shop,
a pop-up
right?
show here in the shop, and that was great. We sold 15 tickets. really we sold like 25 because everybody was like, I didn't get mine.
Right.
So we just sold more tickets, you know. But that was great. We had a great time in here.
Yeah.
We posted some pictures up with it, but it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, I was telling Shane on the way over here, this is the first time I've ever been over to kind of this area, mm-hmm. you know, and like the culture side of just looking at things just looks awesome. Like the small kind of businesses you come across, this area just neat.
It's one of the last places left in this city where it's one of the last ethnic neighborhoods left.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to maintain the family business way of doing things down here, and the business association and the neighborhood association are very much responsible for that. They want to keep it that way. And Tower Grove is very much that way too. Like going into Tower Grove East, the neighborhood association is seriously involved, and the neighbors are, and that's the only way that they've been able to bring that neighborhood up.
Yeah.
So they want to keep it like this. This is a great model for a lot of the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And how to keep it from just getting too crazy, yeah. You know what I mean? You want to have people buy houses in the neighborhood, but you don't want it to be like just so crazy. You know
well,
what I mean?
It's so, nice, like I said, seeing some of these kind of smaller restaurants and not just seeing McDonald's here, Taco Bell, because like I'm from Wentzville, and that's all it is like these big kind of.
That's common know. Like further west.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the neighborhoods, the city, they just don't want them.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want them in the neighborhood, so you won't see them actually.
That's awesome.
See them in the neighborhoods. You'll see them on main streets.
Right. Yeah, coming down kind of that other side.
But you won't see them on the corner shops. Right. The neighborhood just doesn't want them.
Yeah, I think that's just awesome. Just that there seem to be kind of less or more rare seeing places like this that kind of the smaller businesses that are a community.
Yeah.
You guys are helping each other out, and it's more of a family. It's not just like.
It is.
There's a more personal feel to it, which
I
love.
You know, they want you to prove that you're going to be part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
That the idea is that whatever businesses that they deem are cool to be in the neighborhood are going to help the neighborhood in many different ways, whether it's the value of the property or if you take an old building, like in this case, the building's been sitting there for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you could take an eyesore and turn it into something cool, you know what I mean?
Right.
So. The community has gotten behind even our Indiegogo campaign because you're getting rid of an eyesore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a big deal to get not just some out-of-town developer coming in, flipping it for rent, you know what I mean? That somebody's actually putting a neighborhood business in. So.
Yeah. Well, so what kind of got you into this whole business in general? And I mean, obviously, like I said, you're Singer of the Urge.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from a music background, what kind of made you say, I kind of want to dive into this, this side of things and just
this other business.
Yeah,
when I moved back to St. Louis, I was in LA for a little while,
mm-hmm.
and I moved back to St. Louis and I was performing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing like a couple hundred shows a year in the bars and the area. And what I noticed is after every show, people kind of scatter and they go eat at 2 o'clock in the morning, they go find something to eat.
Yeah,
so the idea was that I would feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Or that we would come up with some concept to feed them. And I've always wanted to do a hot dog stand like they do in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I bought one of those carts. Took it out on the street and then immediately kind of figured out that I didn't want to do the whole nighttime thing.
Yeah.
That lunch was more solid.
Yeah.
You'd have regular customers that would depend on you for lunch.
Yeah.
So I decided I wanted to do lunch. So I took the cart out downtown, couple spots, found a nice place I liked. Did that worked out great until the weather got bad.
Right.
I was like, well, I gotta get this in the doors.
I gotta
open a shop. And a friend of mine had this shop already. She was working in it. And she had a catering business here, and she was kind of looking to get out. She was already in it. She was doing okay, but she was looking to get out, and I was looking to get in. So it worked out great. We just basically took over the lease and I bought her equipment.
Oh, okay.
And so this was almost like a turnkey kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. So opening the second shop was going to be a little bit more challenging because I wasn't going to get that lucky.
Right, yeah.
So we knew we were going to have to build and conceptualize and all that kind of, with the second shop. So.
Yeah. And how you guys do it out of here, from looking at that video, you guys cook actually out back. Is that Is that correct? Do you have, like, the hot dogs and everything or
yep.
down back there?
So you could sort of consider us like a barbecue place.
Mm-hmm.
We have a smoker, and we have an open fire grill, and we cook outside. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's all year long. So, yeah, we right. that's yeah. how we do it.
I love what you said on the Indiegogo page also with your you got a video of, mm-hmm. and how you discussed how you are a St. Louis kid and you know, musician and father and local business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I love that everything how you do and you want to build up this community and stay here and keep building from within. And I love that message that, you know, just it's very neat.
Well, it works that way. I mean, if I'm here, my daughter goes to school close by, my wife works close by, we live in the city, we live on the south side. So it just kind of, it helps bring our community up.
Right.
So it helps bring what we're doing up.
Sure.
And so people around us kind of can do the same thing, and it also helps make the way for more businesses to come in. So you've seen the neighborhoods do it. You've seen Cherokee Hollow went from like
yeah.
mm-hmm. nothing to poof, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the businesses.
Yeah, I got friends that have a local business down there.
Mm-hmm.
In Cherokee.
They really are tight knit down there.
Yeah.
And they have brought that neighborhood back big time. So
they do a lot of the I helped participate in one. They did like a cleanup stuff, like we all went down there with gloves and trash bags.
Yep.
And we all hit the streets and
yep.
and the local businesses get behind and they give you like coupons and stuff
yep.
to come back to shop at their businesses and because
mm-hmm.
they appreciate you cleaning up their
yep.
their neighborhood. And
it's like a co-op down
yeah.
there that just keeps everybody involved, keeps everybody coming back.
Yeah.
We do. Steve Smith is, who runs the Royale over there, is really good at doing community-based things like
right.
that. He's been there for almost 10 years now, and he's done a great job with that. So I'm thinking with him and myself that we could kind of radiate from there and really just take over that whole Tower Grove East.
Yeah.
And really just start to solidify it and get everybody on board, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
a place to go to have a drink, place to go get some food, take the kids there. It's on a little corner there. It's not too far from Grand. You can get to the park by bike.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious, because I'm looking at your menu here. It's kind of over your favorite. Do you have a favorite
yeah.
concoction? Well, which one? Because I honestly, when I eat it, I'm straightforward. Just straight hot dog on a bun with
right.
ketchup, you know.
That's
but
all you need. Yeah.
I'm looking at all the, I'm just curious, like, which ones of these on your menu is your favorite here?
I like the bacon Jamaican dog. It's got two slices of bacon on the bottom, pepper jack, the dog jerk seasoning,
yeah.
our house-made honey chipotle sauce. Then we put grilled peppers on top of that, and then we put even more bacon on top of that. So it's pretty complex, but I mean, it's just everything works just right.
Just compliments it.
Yeah.
How do you guys come up with new recipes? Just kind of trying stuff, or
we all of us kind of have a. I'm the only one who doesn't have a true food background.
Yeah.
But everybody else works here has a cooking food background.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
We kick around ideas, and then we try to make it.
Yeah.
We try to see, and we kind of tweak it and make sure it tastes good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every week we put something out. We have a weekly special, so
yeah.
every week we have something new. And that was the whole thing. It keeps people coming back.
Right, yeah. Well, it kind of keeps the menu fresh, too,
yeah.
and, you know, gives people something. If
right.
they haven't tried it, they try it, and they love it. Like, it's new
so we got
food.
A good staple, like 20 things on the menu.
Yeah.
And then we just, every week we add, you know, new things. And
we have to get a bigger board. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
one of them, the backyard barbecue, the first looking at it, it seems kind of strange because it's got potato salad, baked beans, barbecue sauce.
And bacon.
But you bite into it, you're like, man, that sounds like strange. Hot dog, but you bite into it and it tastes like a picnic, and it's like
it just works.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a strange combination, but it all comes together and it works nice. And
it just
like,
works.
Yeah, it's great. I love being a fan of the shop. I've been down here quite a bit, and I'm always love you tweeting out or
mm-hmm.
Facebook all the specials for the day, and
mm-hmm.
it just makes me hungry every time I see them all.
I have to get down here with my wife because like. I'm really just boring, and I'll, you know, in Wentzville, I go to work and come home, and you know, I got a 2-year-old son, so by the time I get home, I'm just But he loved, like, hot dogs is his thing. Yep. So, like, coming out here and, you know, my wife being pregnant, she'd probably love everything up on that menu, you know, really all sorts of stuff. But
one of the biggest issues we have with this location is our hours.
Right. Oh, right.
We close at 3 o'clock during the week, so it's impossible for working folks to get here if they're not eating lunch.
Yeah. Right.
So with the new location, we'll go from 4 to 10 during the week, and then we'll go from 4 to 1:30 a.m.
Oh, okay.
On the weekend. So if you're coming home from work, you got the kids, and it's just like, I don't feel like cooking.
Right.
Or we could just throw them over here and get some hot dogs in them.
Yeah.
Maybe chill out, watch the game or something.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the idea. You can actually go there now for dinner.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to expand on the menu just a little bit with some signature pasta dishes. Kids love the mac and cheese and the Alfredo and that kind of stuff. So
yeah. Well, it's awesome kind of seeing, like, it grow, because it sounds like this is kind of becoming a staple of... I mean, I work over at CenturyLink, and probably the first week over, a guy was like... I mentioned we were coming over here, and he's like, oh, I love seafood. He's like, every Friday I come out here and get them. And just to know that you're able to now... you know, expand and,
right.
and, you know, but this kind of becomes a staple of almost like an emo, and I don't say emos, but, you know, like a traditional St. Louis thing, you know, it's like,
well, that, I mean, honestly, know? Like my long-term look at things was, I would love to be like a Gus's Pretzels or a Ted Drew's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's
or
the better
emos,
example.
You know what I mean? Like just part of the neighborhood.
Right.
It's just, you notice like, well, emos has lots of locations, but Gus's is only really one location.
Yeah.
And Ted Ruiz has two, so it's not about being huge, it's just about being solid.
Yeah.
Right.
And being around for a long time, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it kind of like, you know, having a niche in a sense of like, go get a great dog, man.
Right.
Go to Steve's. And
right.
that's kind of cool, and to build kind of a reputation and almost like a legacy in a sense. You
sure.
know, obviously, so when did this location, when did you guys start this location?
We've been almost 3 years now.
3 years, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still kind of fairly young.
It's a new business,
but
yeah.
But to be able to be opening, you know,
yeah.
that new location is pretty awesome.
So we worked really hard. You know, the biggest challenge is being consistent, always, if the product is good, making sure it's always good.
Yeah.
Every time, that's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked really hard on that, and just keeping getting the word out. And our customer service, I will say, our customer service is really good here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of fun. So that's the main thing, is if you're going to work here, we're looking for people who are, I don't know, wanting to have some fun.
Right.
Like, you can see we're totally into, like,
yeah, I love all the
pop culture with
stuff.
Film
awesome.
And television and everything else. We're totally into that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and for any, you know, Urge fans, too, it's fun to come down and see some of the memorabilia on the walls. And
get to see stuff like, what?
Yeah, some of the stuff you might have forgot about, for the posters and things. And it's like just nostalgia kind of feel to it a little bit, some of the stuff. And you still get your buns from across the street?
From Vitaly's Bakery,
Are they going to still, you still going to be over at Tower Grove, too?
Yep, so that, once again... That's one of the reasons why it's great to stay in the city locally, because all of our ingredients, majority of them, come from local purveyors.
Right.
So you have Vitaly's Bakery across the street. You have Emo Meat Company, like two blocks down.
Yeah.
G&W is like a half mile that way. And Di Gregorio is one block down. So, yeah, we get a lot, our meats and cheeses and breads right here.
Yeah, that's just another factor of keeping it all local and building the community too, because
it really ties them all in. So it's really cool.
Have you found, like, and I think you tweeted out today, like, social media day or something, like, have you guys really embraced, like, the social, like, in the last few years, social media has been crazy with, like, kind of promoting stuff like that. It seems like you guys have kind of started to take on that, you know. I saw the Facebook page and Twitter.
I've been doing it hardcore since Friendster.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
well, I'm like a huge... something about it, like, social media is awesome.
Right, since probably, like, 99, 2000, I've been really up on social media before they really called it social media.
Right, yeah, it wasn't even a thing till...
It was just a way to get... Because I was trying to promote shows. I was trying to promote... I was just starting to make a solo records, and I was trying to promote the shows we were playing.
Yeah.
And the release of those records and the release of those songs. So it was really useful. It was working quite well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I've spent all that time building a following, you know, via MySpace and everything else, and Twitter came along, and Facebook came along, and it just kind of rolled right into it. And that, every day I do something every day.
Yeah. Well, it's almost, one of the things you kind of stick on, but at the same time, like, it blows my mind, and I've talked about this just because how important it's becoming to our everyday lives. Sure. In a good way, I think, and also there's those ways where, you know, everybody's on their cell phones, but at the same time, like, I just love the idea of promoting through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter.
It's becoming a little bit of a blur now.
It's not as distinct, I think, as what...
But, you know, if you... Just like with any other... I believe in finding a little corner and just staying in it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you always have to blast.
Right.
But if you have a place that you can be, stay in it, do something unique or something funny or cool, do it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
What you'll find is people will actually start looking for it.
Mm.
And that takes a long time.
Yeah.
But if you just stay there and keep doing the same thing, people will start going after it. They'll start looking for it.
Right.
I've actually, just like you're saying, I started kind of doing the same thing. Like on the Fridays and Saturday nights, I usually like to try to kind of do a rundown of some shows that I recommend.
Right.
As a local music fan of it. And I... Because I get tired of people always saying there's nothing to do in this town, but
there's tons. Yeah, tons. Exactly.
So I always and being friends with all these guys, I'm like helping kind of cross promote, trying to get people to go to their shows. And so on Friday night,
I love how you do that too.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Friday nights, I'll say, hey, you know, check these shows out, and then I get people coming back to me all the time, like, you know, that one to message me, hey, what's going on this weekend, and then they're looking for it, and like you just said, and I mean, I. It's neat that they respond to it, but I don't. So it's fun.
It's funny because you say that because there's no. I don't see any. Maybe that's because the network is so big, but I don't see anybody going locally down like what's going on in the city, music wise. I don't see anybody doing it.
Yeah.
I know KDHX does it. People definitely go there. They know that KDHX.
Yeah.
They have a local calendar,
mm-hmm.
but. I think even things fall through the cracks with them because they can't list every local band or every thing that's playing, or so they go kind of larger.
Yeah.
Whereas it's nice that somebody's saying, "Well, there's another 20 shows happening this week."
Yeah. Were you guys ever involved with STL Punk back way?
We
because I remember in high school, and obviously
that was a great place to find out what was going on. Unfortunately, that one's gone now.
Yeah, I think I went there and there's nothing there, but I just remember that was like the place to go to see. Who was playing where locally, and it was I don't even remember if it was like if they announced major band. It was all seemed local St. Louis, and that was awesome.
Great...
And I'm really surprised somebody hasn't taken that back up. You know, just because
the site was actually sold. I don't know exactly what happened, but it was sold, and I think it just kind of
disappeared. I'm just there. You go, man. Start STL Punk back.
Yeah,
I just remember that because you know in high school we were in bands, and that's I always remember seeing the top.
Yeah.
Bands or whatever on STL Punk. And
what's going on. Yeah.
Right, and I'm just surprised. And maybe there's a site out there with St. Louis, but like you said, I haven't seen anything outside of like what you post, and you seem to go to more stuff than I even know is going on.
Yeah, it's a crazy addiction I've gotten, like where I just love local music. I love getting out and supporting these guys. And it's
man, if you can get out there, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some serious players in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen? I was just curious because you guys, Urge has been around for some time.
Yep.
How do you see the music industry now, outside of I guess social media? I mean, that's a huge part. But like, how do you see it now compared to what it was in say like mid '90s?
It's different. It was bigger then.
That's what I'm kind of curious.
It was a larger industry. There was more people buying music.
Mm-hmm.
So the CD was the main medium. Which was extremely profitable.
Right, yeah.
And so you had to go buy it. I mean, there's no other way to get the music except for buying it. So it was different. It was about selling CDs and promoting the sale of the CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the word out was challenging. But at the same time, there was less chatter.
Right.
So if you actually went after getting the word out, you could reach a larger audience.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of not much different. It's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
So, once again, if you're promoting an album, that means you have a label that's spending the money and the time at Facebook or whatever it is that, you know, to get it out there. So it still costs a lot to sell a record.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a lot of money is in now touring and like merch and stuff. It's not even selling records because stuff like, and I'm not sure how much like cut artists get from like stuff from like Spotify and iTunes, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Because like Spotify now you can go and listen to pretty much anything for like $10 a month. And
yeah, Spotify, no one's really getting paid from Spotify.
And that's
iTunes, you get your $0.70 or 60 something cents a download or whatever. That's a fair deal. So it's definitely different. Mm-hmm. You're still out there trying to get music out to people. You're still trying to get people to come to shows.
Yeah.
You're still trying to get them to buy the merchandise. Mm. You're still trying to get them to spread the word. So it's, in that sense, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's just how you're doing it is a little different, you know.
Right. Yeah. I remember, like printing out flyers and stuff, you know, back before. Like now, I'm just surprised there are still CDs and stuff in the stores. Like you go to Walmart. I mean, there's still those. Right. I mean, you who go out and buy albums and stuff. Like I really support. I'll go out and mm-hmm. purchase their stuff. You know, I'm just surprised that they're still like making CDs. And it seems like that's a platform that's going to eventually just kind of fade into digital. And maybe I'm wrong.
Well, cars are still making CD players.
Right.
That's true. I guess if they're still...
It's like when you buy a brand new car, it's still got a CD player.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. There's enough... Obviously, there's enough people buying them.
Yeah.
It's... Like I said, the CD is profitable. It doesn't cost you much at all to print one of those.
Yeah.
You can mark it up to $20.
Right.
This is what ushered in the digital deals. People just got tired of paying that much.
Right.
For something that only costs $1 to manufacture.
Yeah.
Well, and there was the cases too when you bought it, you spent $20 and you only liked the one song on there.
Right.
Because, there were so many of these bands coming up that they hit the hit on the radio, but the rest of the stuff wasn't really, it wasn't a complete album.
Right.
So
people got fed up.
Yeah.
Once they figured out how to shrink the file down and make it sound still pretty good.
Yeah.
That was all over with then.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, you got pirating. I mean, everything is at your fingertips now.
Yeah.
Whether you want to pay for it legitimately or torrent it off a website, it's all there, and it's hard to have people go out and say, oh, yeah, I'll go to Walmart or wherever and buy this.
Sure.
But I can just go. I mean, it's the same thing with movies.
Right.
Books. I mean, everything's getting... it's hard to see how any money can be made in an industry like that, and I'm just...
They can't. You make it on shows.
It seems like you have to actually...
Merchandise, you make money on downloads.
Yeah.
You still make money on downloads. You make money off of licensing.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you did before, movies, soundtracks, television.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing more and more labels are pushing art and artists towards television. Television is... With streaming now, television is exploding.
Yeah.
Well, so imagine all the avenues for music now.
Right.
On television. So
there's so many different series to now with the expansion of cable and television where you can get your song on any.
Now you need music for that. So I mean, so it still need music.
Right. Well, and what's I guess kind of nice too is, I mean, we can record a podcast just on a computer. Music the same way. I mean, you can go in and buy a little $60 USB thing, plug guitar in, or get a mic, and it's so easy to seem to make music now, and then distribute it or whatever. So I guess it's kind of like a balance of good and bad in a sense, because there's people who now can create and kind of express things that they couldn't before.
Yep.
And it just probably takes a little more work to really get out there and have people filter it between, because everybody can do it now. It seems.
Yeah. So think about it this way. If there was a David Bowie sitting in this room, you might not know there was a David Bowie.
Right.
There's just so much out there. And so during the David Bowie period of time, you'd have one cat coming out of this area that they were pushing really hard.
Right.
Yeah.
And you'd have an entire team of people rallying around and bringing this particular artist up.
Yeah.
So they still do that, but there's a lot more chatter.
Right.
Out there, so it's... You look at it as one way, good way for maybe a different David Bowie, maybe a different deal to get through, but the traditional way of really bringing an artist up is kind of
silly. And it's like you said with like Twitter, if you kind of just stick to that, what you're doing, and just push and push and push and build. I mean, if it's good and people enjoy it,
they'll come look for it.
Right, exactly. If the product is good and you know it's you know not junk, people are gonna realize that, and they can distinguish between something that's just whatever, me going over and playing a guitar for 2 minutes and some guy who actually knows what he's doing, you know. So it's, I guess, the best of kind of both. So so you guys got a big show on Saturday at Verizon, right?
Yep.
With 311?
With 311 and the Wailers.
Yeah, and you guys have been pretty good with, like, good friends with 311?
Mm-hmm. Is that? Doing quite a few shows over the years. In mid to late 90s, we toured with them a lot before the band broke up. We'd probably find ourselves out on the road with them at least once a year, like every year. So just became really good friends. They're from the Midwest. They're from Omaha.
Wow.
We're all exactly the same age. So we just kind of clicked.
Right.
We met a long time ago. We clicked and we just started touring together.
Yeah, just worked out.
Yeah.
They do a cruise you guys have played a couple times, right?
We did it one time. It was a couple years ago, So they do it every year. We did it 2 years ago. They skipped it last year. So hopefully we'll get back on the cruise because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That was a good time.
Pretty well.
Bring the family out. Actually play like every night almost.
Right.
That's
fun.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah. Jeez. Even on your night off, you still end up playing with somebody.
Yeah. Right. It's still just probably like
just get up and jam with somebody.
I say jam session or something.
Yeah.
So I know you kind of do your own stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of, after going through... stuff with the Urge, do you almost kind of enjoy doing, being able to do your own thing? Not to take anything away from the band itself, but do you find it more difficult to kind of create your own stuff or more?
Not at all. It's easier actually. It's one vision.
It's
straight ahead. If you hear it, you play it. You make it. Put it down.
Yeah.
So it's different than working in a band where it's multiple interpretations. So off any particular idea, so you have to vet it out. You have to work through it, you know, in a band situation. So it takes a little bit longer to write music in a band. But on that side of it, it's been worked out with 5-6 cats. So sometimes you can come up with really cool stuff that way. It's easier to write on your own, but you're missing, sometimes you could be missing a component.
Right.
So it can go both ways, honestly.
You're and you could probably have that side, too, where, like, if I went and created something, you know, I may think it's awesome, and somebody could be like, well, hold on, listen to this. You kind of have another set of ears, too, that kind of gives you an interpretation and be able to kind of point it out. So what's when you're writing by yourself, what's kind of the process of, do you just kind of, when you just jam around, come up with stuff, or do you kind of sit down?
I'll sit down either with a keyboard or a guitar, and then just start messing around or whatever until something kind of sticks, and then I'll usually would like cut it and loop it, and then just start piecing it together, and then I'll go back and work on the arrangement, and then lyrics and melodies and things like that.
Yeah.
So I just have gotten to be really good at that over the years, to where I can actually move through that process pretty quickly.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you write a lot of the Urge stuff, or you guys write as a collaboration?
It's a collective,
yeah,
no doubt. We'll get in the room and just start playing. That's how we've always done it.
Sure.
That's just how we've always done it. Just get in there and somebody's hopefully just pressing record because something cool will happen.
Yeah.
And if they don't press record, we'll forget it. You know, so hopefully that, we'll just get in there and jam. Stuff starts to emerge as being coherent. Be like, oh, let's work with that. Let's work on that.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll kind of go down that hole. So, is that what you
do? Do you guys find, like, you have to practice as much as you... Like, so if you're playing, you know, Saturday, are you guys... Do you guys just, like, can go in there and just jam out, or do you guys still have to find... Kind of have to practice and kind of pick up and make sure everything's...
There's some little pieces here, like we will rehearse. Like, but we only rehearse, like, a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't really need a lot of rehearsal... it's just really just working with your gear, getting settings, and really just kind of working through the set just to kind of get it tight, but the actual performance, like, we don't really have to rehearse that much. We've been playing the songs forever.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, you know, because, right. you know, you guys have been around for quite some right. time, so I just wondered if, yeah, if you guys can go out there and just, as if whether you play
right.
once a year or every week, it would be the same, yeah. you know, you guys just pick up and just
everybody is, everybody is still playing.
Right.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 nights a week, everybody is still playing for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, and you remember the songs, it's just getting tight. That's it.
Yeah.
Just looking at each other and just
yeah.
getting. I play in Steve Ewing band. I have a number of drummers and a number of bassists and guitar players. So you get used to playing with their groove. And then you come back to Urge, and you just it just takes a second to remember what everybody's groove is,
yeah.
and what, you know, so
yeah,
when to push, when to pull, you know that it just takes 1 second to just remember,
right? Just yeah. to have it kick in, and then you're smooth again. So outside of the restaurant here and Urge, what do you do on your free time? Like, do you have any free time outside of, you know, to be able to go and just do?
Right. No, I've been working on it. I mean, I've been able to. Like, be the, like, assistant coach with Madeline's teams, my mm-hmm. daughter's teams, yeah. like her t-ball and soccer and stuff, you know. So, luckily, like I said, this restaurant is real close to everything else we're doing.
Yeah.
So, I can jump out of here and go do that, you know. Yeah. Or, and I'm at home at night, so unless I'm playing. But lately, I haven't been really playing that much during the week. I just have been playing on the weekends and
working. I'm sure with, like, trying to get this new location open, that's probably just takes a ton of time, too, just getting...
It does.
All the, you know...
It does.
Everything organized mm-hmm. and set up.
Yep. I've been able to be a little smarter about it this time, so I'm not, you know, working 24/7...
Right.
On everything. You know, like, in this place, man, I put the paint down, and... I mean, every little thing in here, we were doing all that stuff ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
In the new place, we figured out that we don't have to do everything
yeah.
on our own, you know, so...
Yeah, well, it's kind of like one of those things where you think you can kind of take it all on, and then you start doing it, you're like, oh, man, I could yeah. really use some help, and I'm sure, you know, it's just the trials of going through this location, and then as you
right.
head towards the new one, you can, you know, take what you've learned from this one and
right.
apply it to the next one, and...
That's the whole idea, yeah.
Probably run a little smoother, so... now, is this funding... So you guys got the location kind of set out there in Tower Groves, or is mm-hmm. the... So do you have, like, a kind of... set time of when you're hoping to get it open, or is it all kind of depend on the...
Initially, we said, let's try to get open 4th of July. and I was like, man, I don't think that's going to happen. We're playing, and there's no way I'm going to open a shop while I'm playing.
Put yeah. in a couple extra hours, you're fine.
Right, you got exactly. it. So then we talked about mid to late July,
mm.
and there's still a chance that we could kind of have a soft opening at the end of next month, or end of this month. It's July now. The end of this month, we're looking at a hard opening sometime early mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up pretty fast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We got the location, so we've started ripping it apart already. All the plumbing's ripped out.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, and it looks like you guys are just
yeah,
working.
We've gotten work on it. So the cosmetics will come like that last week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, all that little stuff. The paint usually goes on like. Couple of days before you open,
right?
Like,
yeah,
it usually still smells like paint.
Right? Yeah, I feel kind
when
of
you walk in. Yeah,
that's nice. Oh, that's my least favorite. We got to paint my. We're having a girl in September, and that's my least favorite. We got to paint the room,
yeah.
And I'm not good at painting. I mean, you think it's good, and then I get like you look at the top of the walls, and I just like junk. I'm just like, oh my god.
I am not the best. So you can see a couple.
This is what my room when I used to live in my parents' little bit used to look like was the neon green.
That's me. I painted this.
Yeah. I assume, you know what? If baby's not gonna care,
yeah.
you know.
No one's yeah, right.
Probably nobody's gonna notice it and you're like, hey, look up at this. I painted, you know, nobody's gonna
care. And if
they
do, you'd be like, yeah, what? I painted it.
Right, yeah. Like, you got a problem with my paint
yeah.
job, man? It was
right.
great. No, I love that like environment of just everything in here. Like, are you a big Star Wars?
Yeah.
What do you think of the new movie?
I can't wait.
You think it's going to be, like, how were you, what did you think of, like, the newer three?
They were okay. I mean,
yeah.
I was excited to see them when they came out.
Yeah.
I still like watching them.
Yeah.
But I'm more excited about this new one.
It sounds like it's going to be a little more, it's taking place after the first three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be, like, exciting for, like, I was a little more Star Wars than Star Trek, but I don't know. I just, some people are like, oh, those new ones are horrible. I'm just like, oh, they're movies. If you enjoy them.
Still story. I mean, I love the story.
That's the thing is, like, I try and, it seems so much now, and I've kind of learned this, that, like, people are so judgmental of, like, what's good and what's bad. It's like, there's no such, if people enjoy it, who cares, man?
It's like one of the greatest stories ever told.
Right. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I could watch the making of those all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe my son will watch them one day, or he won't care. He's Yo Gabba Gabba. That's his. that's his.
Yeah, thing. Yo Gabba Gabba is awesome.
Yo Gabba Gabba. I'll tell you what. Like, I when I watched it, I was like, eh. And then you see all, like, the, like, they bring out some great musicians and actors. I was like, wow. And then we're singing the songs. And
he's from here.
DJ Lance. Yep. Yeah, he's from. Can't remember where.
He's from U City.
U City. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We took him to see him live, and Bismarck, he was there and everything. I was just like,
oh, did you? Was I there? Because there was one. It was one when the Fox at the Fox Theater, where I came out.
Did, it probably was.
And
it
did
was,
the disco dance.
Maybe 2 years ago. Was there were a couple guys with, like, trumpets and stuff too, I think, like,
it was the day we opened this shop.
Was
it? So it was September 2011.
Let me think. He wasn't born yet. He was born in 2012.
So it was probably the year before that.
Yeah, fine.
Biz was on tour with them, and I came out and did the disco dance with them.
That's awesome.
And I met the guy. I love the Biz.
Yeah.
And his cousin Cutmaster Kuvy was there. That's hilarious. It was like one of the greatest days ever.
Well, it's really like, if you watch, we have the live DVD, of course, now too. And like, people that, they love it. Like, everybody does. And now
kids
we're like,
crazy.
Okay, Ricky, let's watch something else.
Now
it's Frozen. Now it's Frozen and Little Mermaid. But I enjoy it. Yeah, Yo Gabba Gabba. A lot of people are like, it's too weird for me. I'm like, if you actually watch it,
watch the show. Yeah.
It's actually pretty enjoyable, and they got some good music and good stuff on it. So don't judge it, man.
Nope.
My son loves it.
You were talking about raising your kids, introducing them to Star Wars, and reminded me, Brian Posehn has got a real funny bit about raising his kid now, and about how to introduce him to Weird Al. And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should introduce him to Weird Al first or the originals first. So he appreciates Weird Al stuff. And he's like,
that's a good question.
If he introduces him to Weird Al first, and he's like, who's this guy ruining Eat It?
Some guy tried to cover.
Who's this Michael Jackson guy? Like,
he might have to kind of do it simultaneously. He might have to, like, show both. Like, here's Beat It, here's Weird Al.
Yeah.
This is the video for this, and this is why this is funny. And
Weird Al's still going strong, too.
Yeah, he's still rocking it.
He's got a brand new album coming out, like, next week, and he says he's doing 8 videos and a new video every day, so I'm looking forward to that.
We grew up on, listen to it, too. My brother made a video, too, for school for Grape Juice Diet, I think is what it was, and he had like this big, like, it looked like Super Mario mask on or something, and my dad videotaped it, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then he, like, at the end of the video was all skinny or something. I don't know what it was.
That's fantastic.
Weird Al, man, that was some good stuff. That was my GM.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. So what other dates you got coming up outside of Saturday with 311? Obviously, we talked about the Indiegogo. Last day for that is Sunday.
Right.
So what other stuff you got going on?
August 16th, I will be out at Chesterfield Amphitheater with the School of Rock. And it's their under 19 band, I believe, or U19 as they call it. We'll be doing songs by the Police out there. Also, John Anderson from Yes, the lead singer of Yes, will be out there.
Oh.
And I think they're doing songs by Yes. That's going to be awesome for me because I get to hang out with John Anderson.
You just got to hang out and do it, right?
I cannot wait.
That's a really neat amphitheater they got going out there, too. Like,
they're doing a lot of shows lately. They're doing a lot.
They brought Blues Week, Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. I was there. I think they got the Taste of St. Louis in September coming up.
Taste of St. Louis, which we'll be at this year, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. And it's just really a nice setup they have there. And it's I like that it's more of a smaller, intimate amphitheater
experience. Where's that at? I feel like I might know, but I don't know.
Right by the Chesterfield, Mall.
Mall? Yeah. Is it where, like, that? There's, like, that monument with the guy, like, sticking out of the ground?
Yeah.
Right by there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the library and stuff. And
okay.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing Taste out there this year. Like I said, they did Blues Week. And they keep booking stuff. So.
Yeah. I know it's stirred up some controversy because Blues Week and Taste of St. Louis has always been downtown.
Right.
And now they're bringing it to Chesterfield, mm-hmm. and people in Chesterfield are excited, but everybody downtown is like just, you know, raising the stink about it because they're like, you know, it's the Taste of St. Louis. Why is it in Chesterfield and right. not in St. Louis? And
I think the argument is that Chesterfield, to an out of town person, Chesterfield is St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're in Kansas City and they say, where are you from? You'd say St. Louis. Right. You wouldn't say Chesterfield.
Right. Something they're going
to
recognize.
Right. So the idea is to bring more people from out of town to Taste of St. Louis, where so they can find a little venue out there. They could attract people from out of town with some more celebrities, like cooks, chef celebrities, stuff like that. I don't really get into the whole deal. I think it's going to be great for the restaurants.
Yeah.
Because we get to now go out here where those people wouldn't drive all the way downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them would, but now we get to go out here and show our food to a whole different mm-hmm. audience. So I don't know if it's going to stay in Chesterfield or if it's going to come back. Or I really don't know how they're doing it. I just really like the Taste of St. Louis. It's been great for us as far as getting the word out. And,
right.
you know, it's usually pretty insane, you know, how they do it. So
Was your first Taste of St. Louis with 2011 when you guys got started? Or
no, it was 2009.
2009?
Yeah, it was 2009. We didn't even have a restaurant yet.
Yeah.
We just had Steve's Hot Dogs, like the cart.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there, and we didn't have a booth. They just let us set up on a corner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I would like to do this in a booth. You know, I'd like to go ahead and be a part of it, but we needed to open a restaurant. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to be opening a restaurant.
There you go. Is that the requirement that you have to have a restaurant?
Yeah, you have to be a restaurant.
Be a part of it. Okay. Gotcha.
So last year, I think they tried doing the food trucks, mm-hmm. and it was kind of hit and miss with the food trucks, and they had to use more street space, and it was becoming difficult with the city.
Yeah.
Like opening up even more, closing off even more streets. For the food trucks.
Yeah.
So the year after that, they kind of like, well, the food truck thing was okay.
Yeah.
For it.
Well, I can kind of say it makes sense, you know, as if you're going to kind of promote something, you want to know that it's going to be around for at least a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
No, established, and not just like, oh, well, we're selling hamburgers for a week and then realize it's not working out and stopped, you know. So it's,
right,
I think maybe that's why they kind of do to have a established.
They want to have the restaurants out there showing the best that they got.
Right.
So the idea is that not only are we showcasing for people here in St. Louis, but we're really showcasing for people coming out of town.
Right.
Coming from out of town. So.
Yeah. You know, the Midwest, mm-hmm. in a sense. You went down to, what was this weekend? Was it the Pride?
Oh, yeah.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was definitely an experience.
I think St. Louis is really good about putting on, like Race for the Cure and stuff like that, like going down. Like, yeah. There's a lot of support for
all. The ones here in the city do really well. Folks are definitely supportive
mm-hmm.
of the festivals and things like that. Tower Grove Park is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Pride's there. Festival of Nations is there. There's another one that's there. That's another huge one in the park. Folks in that area just, I don't know, they just kind of get together and rally around the festivals over there.
I wish more people kind of indulge kind of like that. Just kind of widen their cultural experience, because in like college, mm-hmm. I remember going to like musicals and stuff and be like, this is dumb, and then like after I got to college and I started really like, I think I saw Rent live and I was like, man, why did I think this was so, you know, I just wish people would kind of open up their minds a little more to mm-hmm. just different cultural things. I think it would just make enjoyment of things and whatever so much better.
Yeah,
but that's just getting them out of their kind of television or
getting
norm,
folks out of
like,
their zone, yeah.
Right, and just experiencing different things that they're not used to.
Music and food does that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Festivals do that. They, you know, they bring large groups of people out, hopefully like from everywhere. Come and check this out.
Yeah.
Come down to the city or come to the south side or come to this neighborhood because we have some cool stuff going on over here. And that's what it's all about, honestly.
Yeah.
I really love the Festival of Nations. Because it's not just about the food, but it's just about every culture. And
I would say that's probably like on a more of a whole, their culture mm-hmm. and their, you know, way of doing things.
We were just having a meeting with the Grand District Business Association, and I said, we now officially have more countries than Epcot represented by food. So, man, yeah. Can you imagine that down on Grand? I mean, there's everything down there.
That's wow. Awesome.
Jeez. I don't know when it started or whatever, but like it seems like going on about the Chesterfield thing earlier, there's so much of this like stigma where people are afraid to branch out. Like if anybody lives in St. Charles County, they're afraid to go to St. Louis County because they think it's forever away. When
yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's not that far.
It's not that far.
Yeah, and it's like, but the same thing, people in the city don't want to go out to the county.
Sure.
And it's so like, it's...
That's that way everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Right?
I mean, all cities are like that. I think you find everybody wants to be in their
right.
area. It's hard to get them to leave and go someplace else, especially yeah. if you can get what it is that you're trying to get them to go there for out there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I'm always trying to encourage people to try something new and go. Go visit the city and try a new restaurant, try a new listen to a new band, and you know who knows, you might love it. So that's
yep.
If you didn't like it, oh well. You know, at least you tried.
At least you came on down.
Yeah.
If they open a St. Louis bubble tea in Winsville, I'm screwed because my son and wife are. That's where it's at. St. Louis bubble tea with that boba. That's where it's at.
Oh, you like that tea?
I don't like the boba. My wife loves it, but like we'll go. There's like they have a little one in Chesterfield Mall right there, the St. Louis bubble tea. But I like the one, yeah, like down the loop or whatever. And banana bubble tea is what it's at.
Sweet.
Ice, the banana ice or banana snow, I think it's called. But like my son now, whenever we take him somewhere, he'll be like, I want to go to Target or I want to go to whatever. Now he's like, I want to get bubble tea. And I'm like, yeah. Rick, you don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't even know
he does. He's like, he'd that's be great. All on it. But that's like one thing my wife's like, oh man, they open a bubble tea out here. We'll be
I'm
broke.
Killing it.
Killing it.
I'm murdering it.
Right. <yeah. laughs> It's going down. We're driving down and there's a Smoothie King and she's like, oh my God. I'm like, what? And freaking out driving. She's like, they're putting in a Smoothie King. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's fine.
Yep.
Chill out. I don't want to crash. Jeez. All right. Well, so we got the Indiegogo ends July
6th.
11th.
Yeah.
You got 311 The Urge on Saturday at Verizon.
The 5th, yep.
Fifth, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No,
oh,
the
yeah.
show's the 5th.
The show's
the
right.
Campaign's over on the 6th. Yeah, the Sunday. Yep.
Yeah. And then stop by, you know, Steve's Hot Dogs and get some food.
Come on down,
yeah. Yo. Be delicious. Yeah. And check out some of the perks too for the Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can donate as little as what $5 all the way.
You can donate as little as $1 if you want.
Yeah.
Perks start at $5 though.
That's okay. That's what it is. Yeah.
So it's the address is igg.me/AT/Steve's Tower Grove.
Okay. And we'll put a link in the iTunes for it. So
yeah.
It'll be awesome. Well, man, it was good talking to you. I appreciate you taking the time
thanks
out.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hanging out. And
you got it.
Yeah. So it was a good episode 5 for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So come check out Steve's Hot Dogs.